I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You guys ready to get started?
From the NFL Draft in Detroit, it's the Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, NFL insider Adam Schefter, NFL Draft prospect Terrion Arnold, 2024 NFL Draft prospect J.J. McCarthy, CBS NFL analyst and NFL Network draft analyst Charles Davis, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick, 2024 NFL Draft prospect Romo Dunze, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show Draft Week Special, live on the Roku channel from Detroit at the Total by Verizon Studio. Look at us here in the Motor City.
Oh, baby.
For an NFL draft. I am Rich Eisen, thrilled to be here with you live again on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners all 3 hours out there. Thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. Basically, if you're interested in the NFL draft, which means you'd fog up a mirror if it was placed in front of you, we have got you covered. Every single thing you might be curious about this draft, every single thing once the draft takes place that you're wondering what happened in the NFL draft, those questions will be answered right here over the next 3 days, thanks to our stellar guest list. And also you taking in this show, we greatly appreciate it. I am here, and guess who also is here? Made the flight to Detroit. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman.
Rich, what's happening?
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir? You've got a fake candle.
The candle's lit.
I like it very much. Did you steal that from a local restaurant or establishment?
I'll never tell.
Okay, good to see you. DJ Mikey D is back in our Los Angeles
making sure
that our radio feed sounds great, because he's way too important to the UFL coverage this very weekend to actually get on a flight to be with us here.
Shame.
That's how I'm throwing him under the bus.
Shame.
Good to see
Shame.
You. And again, our guest list is great. My buddy from back in the day at the University of Michigan, at the Michigan Daily back in that day, Michigan's finest as well. Adam Schefter from ESPN is going to be joining us. Terrion Arnold of Alabama. J.J. McCarthy is going to be here, and he has provided us with some video from his parents about when they decided he was going to be A, named J.J., and B, an actual quarterback in the NFL one day. Wait till you see this video. He's joining us here in studio. Charles Davis is going to be with me on the NFL Network draft set. Louis Riddick, part of ESPN's draft coverage. Romo Dunze of Washington is going to be here, and then also Tom Pelissero. I've got my mock draft, my one-come-at-me mock draft. That's about to be revealed in a matter of moments. And yes, I use the word revealed because it is that important to me. later on, we're going to do what's more likely on a Wednesday
in advance
of the draft to figure out what is more likely. But there's some news to start this show from USC. USC is front and center, and we'll tell you why. Number one, right here in this town. This football-loving town of Detroit, they love their Lions, and why not? The Roar has been restored, and one of the reasons why the Roar has been restored is because of Amon-Ra St. Brown, the outstanding wide receiver. Remember, guys, a couple of years ago, I said he was top 10 worthy wide receiver, and you looked at me like you're
you
nuts.
You said top 5.
I don't even.
No, I didn't say top 5.
I think it was top 5.
I said top 10.
You said like top 30.
I know what I say into these microphones. You clearly don't. Top 10, I said.
Sun God.
The Sun God. I saw what he was doing at the end of his second NFL season. I saw all that. Okay. And then we saw what he did in this past NFL season.
Yeah.
And in terms of top 10, I think you can all agree he's a top 10 wide receiver in the National Football League
top
now.
Top three.
Okay, you can make that case. He's now number one in terms of being paid. My buddy, Ian Rappaport, who is on this show on Friday with the breaking news, and Adam Schefter is going to be joining us, no doubt, to talk about it as well. The Detroit Lions have given him a four-year deal worth more than $120 million, $77 million guaranteed. He is the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, and he plays his football right here in Detroit at Ford Field, just around the corner from us. And it is a great reminder to everybody out there prior to this draft. Certainly, if you are a wide receiver in this draft, and this is supposed to be a very deep wide receiver draft, how about a guy, once upon a time, a fourth round selection, 112th overall, prior to this year's draft, being named and bestowed this contract and being named the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League? That just goes to show you, you have no idea who you're drafting and when and what they're going to be turning into.
Right.
And certainly in this year's draft, if you don't get Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top of this draft, or one of our guests today, Roma Dunze, or Malik Nabers, you can get somebody equally as terrific in the first round, second round. DK Metcalf in the second round. Debo Samuel in the second round.
AJ Brown
in the second round. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, a fourth round wide receiver drafted 112th overall, is now the highest paid.
Wow.
Pay that man his money.
And congratulations to the Lions for doing the right thing. Speaking of being paid from USC.
Hey now. Hey. Look at you.
Reggie Bush, we all understand, when he won his Heisman Trophy, deserved it because of what he did on the field.
He was the best, maybe the best player ever.
Oh, my God.
In college.
What Reggie Bush did on the campus of USC and what he did as a USC Trojan, without a doubt, earned him the Heisman Trophy. And the fact that he had it taken away from him in 2010 because of impermissible, at the time, payments that he received or benefits that he received, to the point where the BCS vacated the 2004 national championship of USC. They vacated it, and they wiped out 14 victories.
Stupid.
Because of what happened with Reggie Bush, and I imagine there were some other these details, they get so fuzzy. Don't forget, that's the reason why supposedly Pete Carroll went
left
to the National Football
League. All the sanctions that followed, the loss of scholarships, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the NCAA nonsense, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now, obviously, I'm biased as we're here in the state of Michigan.
Of course.
Uh-huh. And but the fact that Reggie lost his Heisman, as if any of these impermissible benefits caused him to make a single move on the football field better than what he would have done otherwise. What, because he had a nice night's sleep and whatever, you know,
he was driving such a nice car. He was able to cut all the way across the field against Fresno.
Insanity. And so, the fact that, you know, I know you love this word as a New England Patriot fan, once upon a time had a forfeited first round draft selection, Jesus. Right?
We've had multiple forfeits. So multiple,
but the fact that Reggie had his Heisman Trophy, he forfeited it, and he has been fighting to get it back. And just, you know, even the other day, you know, I'll bring it up here, when O.J. Simpson passed away and the Heisman Trust tweeted out a condolence to him and didn't mention anything that happened in his life at all. And I said at the time, how does Reggie Bush feel about this? That Heisman, that OJ was able to keep his Heisman and Reggie forfeited his. And today, finally, that got rectified out of the blue. I had no idea. And this was in the making. This was coming because it happened at a Wednesday meeting that was going down in Jacksonville, Florida, of the Heisman Trust. 10 Heisman Trophy winners were on hand for the Heisman Trust to restore the Heisman Trophy to Reggie Bush. This happened, and he Instagrammed out a photograph, and clearly he is a happy man, and why not? And it also looks like Reggie can play
today.
He has his Heisman Trophy back, and he could not be more happy about it. And we could not be more happy for Reggie, because he deserves to have never lost this in his entire life and his career. Other Heisman Trophy winners, Johnny Manziel, RG3, name them, Eric Crouch, they were all tweeting out and posting about how happy they are that the Heisman Trust did this. And the Heisman Trust, in making this announcement, said the reason why they restored it is because of, quote unquote, enormous changes in college football.
Okay. Let me tell you what they would never would have got back from me is my Heisman.
Yeah, I would have never given it up in the first place, but it's good. Better late than never. Glad they did the right thing.
Well, the replica that USC had, USC gave it back, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because you've got to play by their rules. No, there's only one trust. Mine would have been the Heisman.
Mine would have been in a storage unit somewhere. And like, you remember when Spicoli went into the pizza shop in Fast Times and Brat was like, you had a shirt on, where is it? And he was like, something happened to it. That would have been my response. Where's your trophy? It's gone.
Well, in terms of me, if I may say, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, due to enormous changes in my life and circumstances and status in the world, I'm wondering if my prom date might
regret.
No, might take back the Heisman I was awarded the night of the prom.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know this story. I don't know.
We'll just leave it there. I received my first Heisman.
Oh, God. Stiffed. Okay. Gotcha. You got stiff.
Good Lord. I can't believe sometimes how I have to explain my jokes.
I forgot about
that. Right here.
Come on, TJ.
Due to enormous changes.
Wake up, TJ.
In my life. Okay. So congratulations to you, Reggie Bush.
No doubt.
Every year I do this the day before the NFL draft. First time, though, I'm doing it on this show live on television from an NFL draft. I'm so excited. This is the first time in my entire existence that I'm doing two shows at an NFL draft.
That's
could not be more excited as a TV host doing this show today on Thursday and Friday live from Detroit. And then Thursday night, I'll be starting gavel to gavel coverage, which is what it's called when you do pick one to pick last as a host, even though there is no gavel at an NFL draft.
Can we get you a gavel? You like, seriously.
It's possible.
Yeah. Amazon delivers.
And when Roger Goodell steps up to put the Bears on the clock, put this gavel here? So I'm very excited, as this is kind of a milestone for all of us here, for this show, for the Roku channel, and then obviously for me professionally and personally with the NFL Network. That said, it is time for my one and only mock draft. It is my Come At Me mock draft, presented by Total by Verizon.
Let's go.
Here we go.
All right.
Now then.
What do you got? What do you got, Rich?
Here we go. Starting at the first overall pick,
McCarthy.
No. I'm going out on a very, very, very long limb and saying the Chicago Bears, to kick off this National Football League draft, they are redrafting Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on.
No.
Chicago will burn
down. Caleb Williams. We all know it's going to be Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is first overall. And then now we'll go to the second overall pick. I heard this at the Combine, and despite all the craziness I heard over the weekend, and it's still even out there that Jaden Daniels, if he had his druthers, if he preferred to land somewhere in the NFL draft, he would like to go to Las Vegas because Antonio Pierce and he have a history from Arizona State days, or Minnesota because of Kevin O'Connell's greatness as a coach and coaching quarterbacks. But as we all know, there are no druthers. You may not have your druthers in an NFL draft if you're a draftee.
No,
so
no
Jaden Daniels is going to go to the Washington Commanders. I heard it at the Combine, and it's going to happen here on Thursday night in Detroit. Jaden Daniels is going to be your quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Now, number three on the clock, the New England Patriots. They're taking offers. They're listening. But Jonathan Kraft is reported to be very involved in this draft decision, in the draft room, in all these conversations. And if that's not the first indication that Bill Belichick's on the set with Pat McAfee instead of the Patriots draft room, don't go looking any further. That's a great indication that that Belichick's no longer in a draft room. But I think he's involved in this to make sure at the end of the day that if they trade this draft choice and don't take a quarterback, they're getting a mint. I think they're not getting a mint. I think they're sticking and picking, and Drake May is going to be your quarterback, Chris Brockman, third overall pick.
Rock and roll.
Fourth overall pick. This is where things can begin to, if you will, rock and roll. Trades galore. But the fact that Drake May is gone means the Minnesota Vikings are not trading all the way up to four. Plus, the Arizona Cardinals have 11 draft choices. How many draft choice yachts can they water ski behind? Certainly when they have a, if you will, Maserati in Marv sitting there at the fourth overall pick to stick out there on the field for their quarterback, Kyler Murray. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be an Arizona Cardinal. Now, with Marvin gone, and with the three quarterbacks gone, this whole talk that the Los Angeles Chargers might take a quarterback, are you telling me that there's some sort of draft odds that's going on right now, Chris?
You can bet on everything on the NFL draft, right? A couple days ago, the Chargers' odds to take a quarterback with their first pick were 100-1. Then all of a sudden, they were mysteriously 15-1. Right. That's interesting. As of right now, 6-1 the Chargers draft a quarterback with their first pick.
Let me tell you something. This is my 21st NFL draft I'm associated with the NFL Network, 18th being here in person. That is the dumbest thing I've heard involving any draft, that Jim Harbaugh is going to take this job and trade away Justin Herbert and take a cap hit that's probably equal to the amount of money that Terry Benedict has in one of these casinos here in town.
There's literally a vault right through the wall over there.
Get out of here with this nonsense. I think the Chargers are going to trade this pick once this circumstance is hit. And everybody's putting Joe Alt in Los Angeles. I think Joe Alt is a left tackle. They're not going to stick him in with Rashawn Slater's spot and move him the right tackle. I think they trade out. I think this is where the Vikings make their move for J.J. McCarthy. And I'm just saying this just because I think there's going to be some sort of a draft trade on Thursday night, although I'm hearing a lot that there may just be a lot of sticking and picking. So I'm going J.J. McCarthy here. Chargers move out. Vikings move in. And then when McCarthy's gone, the Giants have a choice at their wide receiver. I'm going with them going with Roma Dunze at sixth overall. And then you've got the Titans on the board at seven. This is their dream scenario. They want Joe Alt. They're going to draft Joe Alt, seventh overall. And then eighth overall, you've got the Atlanta Falcons. I think this is as sharpie as you can get. Dallas Turner for a defensive pick. They're going to Atlanta, eighth overall. Then ninth overall with Malik Nabers sitting there. Instead of the Bears going and getting him, I'm going to say there's one more trade. It's the Colts, and you could even put Jacksonville up there, too.
Ooh,
I'm going to say one of those two teams moves up from Malik Nabers at 9, and then at 10, just for me, because this is going to have to happen, New York Jets. Brock Bowers, give him to Aaron Rodgers and rip the freaking knob off. Will you please? I that's what I want. I mean, I'd get it. But that's my mock draft. Come at me, presented by Total by Verizon. The draft is all about getting a contract, but when it comes to your wireless plan, take advantage of no long-term contracts with Total by Verizon. It's the power of Verizon, priced to win. Find your local Total by Verizon store or switch at totalbyverizon.com today. Look who's sitting here on the Rich Eisen show.
He was taking notes the whole time.
No, please.
During the mock draft.
No, he's not taking notes. He's sending texts or responding to people because his phone is no doubt blowing up. My personal choice for the first guest here, my college friend here back in the state of Michigan, the one and only Adam Schefter is here on the Rich Eisen show as our first guest in Detroit from the worldwide leader in sports. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen show from the 2024 NFL Draft. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Okay, back here on the Roku channel, a radio audience will join us in about 2 minutes' time. Look at us, Adam Schefter, in the state of Michigan. Look at us. Seriously.
You know what? When we think about being in the state of Michigan,
yes,
right, this is where essentially it started for you.
And you too.
And essentially it started for me. And Michigan means a lot to both of us. It's in our souls.
Yes.
And last Friday I had to go back to Ann Arbor for the day to do a sit down with JJ McCarthy for my podcast.
How
a little
great
sit
was
down. And he also, you're talking about how great Jim Harbaugh is.
Yeah.
And J.J. McCarthy also, you'll have him on later today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's in 40 minutes. Yeah.
He's class.
Aces.
The best.
I know.
The man. So good. So while I was back there, I came across your student ID card.
Oh. Is this the one from the hotel?
If you want to show your audience.
Hold it up right here.
There's Rich as a freshman at the University of Michigan checking in. And that may have been, no, that was not the photo you used.
It was the photo I used.
At the Michigan Daily? That was
not at the Michigan Daily.
Yeah, yeah.
No. So but that, yeah, you could see it. The zoom in. It's at the what's the name of the hotel there?
The Graduate
Hotel.
So there's
and that's
Rich's
really my ID and my
hotel.
Signature and my not like they, you know.
So when I checked in, I got the Rich Eisen room.
You did.
So I figured I would bring the student. It's all yours. I certainly don't need the key to the room anymore, Rich.
I feel like I should pull a Joe Theismann. Should I just autograph it without him asking and just say you're welcome?
I'm not asking you to autograph it. I'm giving it to you.
No, it's already autographed. That's legitimate. I mean, my signature that I signed on my student ID card back in 1986.
You can give it to one of your children.
They
probably would enjoy that, right?
I don't know. That is crazy. They'll be like, wow, you had hair, Dad. That's the way it works. So Adam Schefter is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience is about to rejoin. J.J. McCarthy is later on. As you said, Terry Arnold's about to walk in through the door. We're so happy to be here on the Roku channel. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solution for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. As my buddy from back in the day here in the state of Michigan from the campus of the University of Michigan now, from ESPN. By way of NFL Network, where we used to work together, Adam Schefter. Good to see you, brother.
Rich, it is always an honor to be with you.
Come on, man.
Great to be with you in the state of Michigan, in particular, giving you the Michigan student ID card that you had as a freshman in Ann Arbor as a little gift to see you here in person for your big draft week.
Well, as you know, and you guys may not know, I called Adam last week, and I'm like, if your schedule allows or you're free or because you're probably on 15 family of networks on ESPN, I want you as my first guest because, honestly, if we were sitting at the Michigan Daily Sports, you know, area of the Cove in the old Michigan Daily, and I would turn to you and say, I'm going to be so fortunate to have a show of my own with my own name on it in Michigan at the NFL draft. And you are going to be the man in your own right, in your own world, in your own way. And we're going to be able to do it together. We would have been like, okay, where do we sign for that? Like, straight.
If you had presented this scenario to us in the mid to late 1980s, we wouldn't have believed it.
Correct.
It would have been beyond anything we could have imagined. And when people say, you know, are you doing what you imagined? No, this is beyond what, and I'll speak for you, beyond what we could have imagined.
No
right?
Like, question. No doubt.
Coming from Staten Island, you didn't think that you were doing the draft 2024 show on Roku,
going
to host the draft on NFL Network.
Damn straight.
You didn't think that that was going to be happening.
I would have certainly, since I didn't, what's streaming? What does that mean? I don't understand about streaming. What is the internet? I mean, seriously. And, you know, you growing up on Long Island, you'd probably think the same damn thing. And so it's pretty cool, man.
I used to stay home from school. The draft used to be during the week.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it might have been like Tuesday and Wednesday. And I would stay home and watch the draft. I would feign to be sick so I could watch that. And, you know, you think about it. They would do it in a hotel room in New York City.
Yeah.
Then it moved to Madison Square Garden. Then it moved to Radio City Music Hall. Then, thanks to the Rockettes, the NFL took the show on the road. And here we are in Detroit. And it seems to get bigger and bigger every year, and it's just out of control.
And I kind of feel like it's like, by the way, you got your phone on your leg right now, yeah. right? And are you getting draft information? Literally, what's happening? Is that what's happening right now?
Well,
you don't have to say what it is, but I mean,
but you just want to make sure that nothing is particular going down.
Okay, I understand. That's all. But this, and during the commercial break, after I just delivered my only mock draft, I do feel like I'm back in the day at the University of Michigan where you were checking my work.
Editing you, yep.
And editing me, yeah, pretty much.
This is very
you were
good. This
in front
good.
Of
Not
me
so much there.
At the Michigan Daily. Do you want to run through what you think of my
well,
mock draft?
Well, I think your mock draft is excellent, by and large,
thank
Rich.
You.
I think I would give it an A.
Oh, you would?
I would give it an A.
All right. Very good.
I would give it an A. Now, we'll see whether it actually turns out to be
Understood.
An A when push comes to shove. But
what do you think?
Caleb Williams, one. Jaden yeah. Daniels, two.
Yeah.
Drake putting
May
up
three.
On the board, yeah. Drake May, three. I could see that. Four. I think one through four, spot on. Now, are the Vikings going up to five? I think that's a prime trading spot. I think the Chargers would love to trade out.
Certainly if the first four are like that, right? I mean, if somebody jumps, if the Cardinals trade out and gets J.J. McCarthy, and somebody jumps and gets J.J. McCarthy there, and they have Marvin Harrison Jr. at five, I think they stick and pick him. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I think that. Again, I think the first four are pretty chalky right now.
Okay.
Pretty chalky. But the whole thing is, right now, to me, what's going to happen at three? Because...
Huh. Okay.
I think New England will wind up staying, but they've gotten calls from the Vikings,
mm-hmm.
and they've gotten calls from the Giants,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's saying New England's staying, and that's fine, but what happens... What happens when we get on the clock
mm-hmm.
and New England's there and the Giants or the Vikings say, we've got 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
to go get the quarterback we want? Like, what's going to happen then?
And
because nobody really is showing their full hand. So to me, you've got Drake May going to the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and that is perfectly plausible.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see it. But I want to see what happens when New England comes on the clock.
Right.
And I want to see the phones in the room. I want to see who's calling in and what's going to happen. Who's going to step up? Who is stepping up tomorrow night? What time does the draft start? 7 o'clock?
It's at 8 Eastern time.
8 Eastern.
Yeah.
So we're talking about...
I think so.
8 Eastern.
8 Eastern?
Yeah.
So at about...
I should know.
You both should know.
Right. Here's the thing. I'm going there at 2 o'clock. I'm there all day. I don't
you both should know.
His phone's buzzing.
So at about 8:18, 8:19,
yeah.
The first moment of truth has arrived.
And so the question is what it would take. It would take...
A lot.
Right?
A lot.
Well, certainly more for Minnesota. It would be both first this year and one...
Right. Well, here's the thing. Minnesota... in my mind, is more desperate to get up there. Minnesota has more ammunition to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giants are within striking range of getting up there. So what, in the end, is more valuable? The more desperate team with more ammunition, or the team that's at six, to where the Patriots could go from three to six and still get the quarterback that they want if they're not leapfrogged at four or five.
For J.J. McCarthy, you think?
Or maybe J.J. McCarthy goes three.
Oh.
Or maybe J.J. McCarthy goes three.
Mm.
Or maybe.
Whoa.
Or maybe.
He's doing the Windhorst. He's doing the Windhorst.
Excuse me. Windhorst was doing the Schefter. All right?
Just saying.
All right? Windhorst was hanging with LeBron fresh out of high school
saying.
When Schefter was doing the
it
Schefter.
It just depends.
Okay?
But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I think that if Minnesota comes up there, I think it's Drake May. And I think if Minnesota comes up there, I think it's Drake May. I think if New England stays, it's a question. And I think, like, I don't know ultimately.
You're saying New England would take stick and pick and take J.J. McCarthy.
I'll say this to you.
Yes.
I'm not saying that.
Of course.
I'm saying that J.J. McCarthy does have support in that building. He has support in that building. Now,
my
how that turns out.
My son Cooper, who is a Michigan New England Patriot fan, would lose his mind. What do you got?
Oh, my God.
You really have to take this?
Hold on a second. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, I'm just on here. Can I call you when I get
Schefter. This is tremendous.
He's taking a phone call
television.
On the air.
But I just hit that bell.
Well, you're
way.
Off in 5 minutes, Adam.
Yeah, no, it's all
is
good.
Is that fine?
Yeah, it's all good. My point to you.
Was that a GM?
My point to you.
He
rolled his eyes.
It was.
No, no. He won't say it. Don't put him in that position. How dare you?
My point to you is that J.J. McCarthy does have some support at three. Now, okay. I'm not saying he's the pick.
Yes.
But that's a choice that New England has to make. And I think New England likes a few different quarterbacks there.
Okay.
Minnesota, if it's coming up, bold move. I get the sense it would be for Drake. That's my sense.
Okay.
Could be wrong.
Sure.
And the Giants are sitting there. And probably Drake, but I don't know. They've done. Let me say this.
Yes.
They've done a lot of work with J.J. McCarthy. Private workout in Ann Arbor, dinner in New York, dinner on Easter. Like, a lot of work in time with J.J. McCarthy, who we know is a special guy.
J.J.'s got heat right now, is what you're saying.
Well, it just depends how it goes down. One day, and I'll say this to you, one day it feels like, boy, J.J.'s going up there. And then you say, well, maybe not as high. Maybe he's going to slide back to maybe 11.
Yeah.
And then you hear some things. You're like, I don't know that he's going to slide. So here's the deal. He's going to go somewhere between, it's not anything all that great, 3 and 11. But it could be 3.
How long do you think Penix's night is going to be Thursday night? What's your best
guess
there,
Adam? Here's the issue. Here's the issue, Rich.
Yes,
okay?
Uh-huh.
Remember this tomorrow night.
Okay.
We got quarterback needy teams or teams with quarterback questions at 1, 2, 3. 6, 11, 12, 13. There are 7 in the first 13 that have some type of significant quarterback question.
Yes.
That doesn't include any other team later on in the draft that has its own quarterback question or has a particular liking with a certain quarterback. That, again, when the Chiefs traded up in 2017, did anybody mention the Chiefs as a potential trade-up candidate in 2017? No, they ambushed everybody. So we've got what we know are 7 teams with quarterback questions in the first 13 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I could give you a few more teams behind them. The Rams, the Seahawks, the Cowboys that have their own quarterback questions, not to mention any others that are out there. There aren't enough quarterbacks to go around. There just aren't. So even if you're not as good, even if your grade is not as high, the chances are you're going to get elevated. And because of the need, the demand exceeds the supply. So based on that, I'm going to say we get 6 in the first round, including Michael Penix.
Okay. And obviously that's Bo Nix as well. I've got 3 minutes left with you here. So I want to get to real estate with what you just said. Rams, obviously, we know Matthew Stafford. He's in his nearing his mid-30s right now. We also hear about Seattle with Geno Smith. You included Dallas as potentially looking at as a quarterback.
I don't see it in the first round. I don't see it in the first round. But Dak is in the last year of his deal. They can't tag him.
Right.
Dak controls whether he's staying or going. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay.
I mean, there's just a lot of teams with quarterback questions.
No, but I mean, the Cowboys at some point are going to have to. I mean, you heard what Jerry Jones said yesterday in his press conference, said that he's like an option quarterback. He just doesn't know when he's going to pitch the ball to re-sign one of his guys, Dak and CeeDee Lamb.
But they haven't even had any meaningful discussions with Dak about a deal. So, like, to get a deal done, you got to have some actual discussions.
He said he was working on it. No, that's not your reporting on that right now?
I don't think they're particularly close to a deal, Rich.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Right. For Dak.
Right.
I think, look, they know they want to try to get all these guys done at some point.
Right.
But CD and Micah would come, I think, right now before Dak.
Okay. So how many texts did you receive during our 15-minute conversation? What's the grand total, do you think, right here, Adam?
Well, you could look.
Okay.
10.
11. He received 11. Okay, there you go. So you should have taken the over.
Over.
Adam, I know you got to go, brother. I appreciate it.
Rich,
that was awesome.
Dude. Welcome back to Michigan.
Hey, man. I guess you were just here on Friday as well.
Yeah.
Have a great broadcast on
We'll see you in the Thursday. Tent.
Yeah, we'll see you pretty much.
In the tent good. And around town here. And
good to
guys,
see you.
Enjoy your draft.
The one and only Adam Schefter here on the Rich Eisen Show. Terry and Arnold just sat down on our Roku channel guest couch. He's coming up next with J.J. McCarthy behind him. Off and running here on this Draft Wednesday from Detroit.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment. That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, our radio audience will join in just a couple minutes' time. So the first of two times, I welcome one of the top defensive players available in this year's draft from the University of Alabama, Terrion Arnold, courtesy of Old Spice and the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm great, man. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I'll be honest with you, though. I'm a little staggered right now because I told you in the commercial break when you asked how long I've been doing this that I was on SportsCenter from 1996 to 2003, and then you responded by saying, what did you say?
So that's when I was born.
That's when you were born.
03.
Back in 2003. So hold on a minute. Let me give him the natural reaction of, since I have the card here from the hotel in Ann Arbor that uses my old college photo, this is what I used to look like.
Wow.
Wow.
You had hair.
Confirm. No, by the way, that's an obvious observation.
Hey, you was clean, though. You got your little tie right here.
Yeah.
You look like a scholar, man. What was your GPA?
3.1, 3.2.
Hey, above a 3.0, you're doing great.
I was doing some work. Yeah, it looks like I was, you know, joining a club or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's me. And I used to have that hair when I was on TV, too.
There you go.
But now I am. This is what I got right now.
That's a good thing, though.
I appreciate it. I'm out of moves.
Yeah.
I'm 54 years old. I'm completely out of moves. You're just getting started.
I'm just getting started myself.
Okay.
Man.
Fantastic. My colleague from NFL Network, Stacey Dale, sends her best to you. You had a nice chat with her at the Combine that went pretty viral.
Stacey is amazing, man.
She is that. And so, man, the Combine feels like it was last year at this point in time, right?
It really does.
Because you're done with the whole process. Now it's time for a draft. A
couple more hours, man.
Just a couple more hours. We got Terrion Arnold right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, one big family. Wearing an Old Spice sweater right now, courtesy also of Big Brothers and Big Sisters from the University of Alabama, Terrion Arnold here on the program. What's your going through your mind right now?
As of right now, even being here today with Old Spice, just an opportunity to really instill confidence in kids. You know, Old Spice and Big Brothers, mm-hmm. what they're all about is just bringing kids together and giving them confidence. Mm-hmm. I would consider myself a very confident young man. And just being around the youth and looking at them in today's generation, you have a lot of people that lack confidence. Mm-hmm. So me being able to partner with Old Spice and Big Brothers as they partner together, it's all about giving back, man. Like you, yourself getting up here, talking in front of all these people, you can see your confidence is infectious, and I feel the same with mine.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it, man. You can tell.
That I have confidence?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's just like I play cornerback, man, so I'm very good at observing people.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. So does that mean I have shutdown ability otherwise?
No, I wouldn't say all that.
Okay.
But you have confidence. You have confidence. Hey, when it comes to this right here, you do what you do.
There's no question about that. I feel very confident in my ability sitting in front of a microphone, but it didn't used to be that way. That's for sure. It did not. No. Absolutely. There's a lot of doubt. There's still even some questions that happen all the time. Where do you get your confidence from?
I would say my confidence comes from my upbringing, being around my grandparents, my mom. When I look to her, I just see a very confident young woman. And then being around my grandparents, and I always say being on the roof with my granddad, like on that roof, mm-hmm. it really turned me into a man, because if you would shake, if you would tremble, I mean, the slightest wrong step, you would fall. And I ain't want to fall off a two-story house. So, I mean, I had to get some type of confidence.
And your grandfather was a roofer?
No, still is.
He still is?
He still is.
Still on the roof?
60 years old.
Okay. And I imagine part of the plan of going to the National Football League is to get him off the roof?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Because he wants to stay
on the roof. He wants to do it.
Huh.
He could have been stopped.
Okay.
But it's like one of those things, just like playing football, I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And like my granddad always says, it's going to come a day where I can't do what I love to do anymore. And that's when I'll stop. It's just like when they say like about playing sports, like one of the favorite sayings or famous saying that I like is, the moment I stop having fun with it, I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's having fun with it, which that wasn't really my type of fun right there. But I mean, he likes doing it, and it brings him joy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with me when I step on that field, or with you, even on your show. You can tell, like, just meeting different people, the relationships, and then getting a feel for people and seeing how they are. You have fun doing it.
Now, I know when you were on NFL Network, again, I had mentioned moments ago with my colleague Stacey Dales at the Combine, you were talking about your mom and how you you pay tribute to her in every movement that you make. So what relationship with your mom adds to your confidence level as well?
I would say just, I even said in my interview with her having me at a young age. So it forced her to grow up. And sometimes I look back and say it forced her to grow up faster than she wanted to. So even like with me being 21 years old, it's a lot of things I can do with my friends or go out there and just be myself and do because I don't have kids. So with her having that responsibility and just owning up to that responsibility and being a nurturer, being there for my siblings, and then like I always tell her, the confidence that she had to be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
the confidence that she had to say, okay, your teacher is doing this, you need to do better. I mean, Terrion, I'm struggling doing this. And like she never faked it with us. Like, it was always, I can't do this right now because I don't have what that other person's parents might have.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to be able to do that, like, it just made me, when I went out there and competed, I would say, okay, my mom is struggling doing this. Why won't I run this extra sprint? She's sitting in the car. She's waking up early in the morning, sacrificing, doing this. So even me being able to give that shout out or pay tribute to that, it just lets her know that I remember her doing all that and making all them sacrifices. And hopefully tomorrow, like I told her, I said, don't cry. But I think she's going to cry. But I'm going to try my best not to cry because I just feel like I'm a man.
Well, no, but listen, in the years that I've done this, I lost track of how many times I've cried on the air just because it's a natural reaction.
It's a natural reaction.
This is the journey.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is just one part in the journey. Obviously, you've got miles to go here.
Yes, sir.
You know, even after you get your name called on Thursday night here in Detroit. But how many siblings do you have?
I only got two.
Just two.
So I have a younger brother who's 18. And okay. I have a little sister who's 6.
Okay. When you said your mom sacrificing, what other sacrifices did she make to make sure that you were on the field and getting to where you have to go? I mean, because that's half the battle too, is to make sure that you're in places you need to be so you can go on your journey.
I would say just even sacrifice her dreams. So like my mom, like natural speaking ability, being able to interact with people, I get that from her. And she always had that gift, and mm-hmm. she wasn't able to pursue that because she had us. So when I look at her, I always say, Mom, like, you were supposed to be an actor, or you were supposed to be this. So when I'm on TV, that's just the confidence I have of being up here. And even, like, with Leo Gray to come on the show, I was just telling him, like, man, you have a naturalness about you that you could just tell. Like, he was saying he was nervous, and I was like, man, don't be nervous. Just be yourself. So, I mean, when he comes on here, you'll be able to see him, like, he might be fidgety or something like that, but I'm going to tell him, like, man, don't do that. Just be yourself. Like, you have a gift. Even you saw something in him. I saw something in him when I first seen him, and he's going to go a long ways even with that.
You're referring to Leo, who's representing Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southeast Michigan, and he's going to come out here and take my job, essentially, right? Both of our jobs. He's going to interview you. Terrion Arnold here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Old Spice as well. So how did you wind up at Alabama? How did that go down?
I just wanted to go to the school that I felt like was going to develop me the best. And when Coach Saban came and he recruited me, he didn't try to sell me a recruiting pitch or anything. He just really sold me on, if you want to come and be with the best and compete against the best, and if you consider yourself the best, why not come to the best?
And he showed up in your living room, or where did he show up?
We had COVID, so I didn't get any home visits.
You didn't get
But he did. Home. Funny story, I was going to this Catholic school, St. John Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up to the church. Like, it was crazy. He didn't come into church, but like, we were literally in mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not Catholic, but I found out he was Catholic. Like, he was mm-hmm. like, man, I could have just came in there. So that just kind of spoke about him. I was like, wow, man, like, he really came here.
To find you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huh. And then you helped him find religion.
No. He already had it.
One thing about Coach Saban. Figuratively is what I meant.
One thing about Coach Saban, though, like, when it comes to that, like as far as what people don't know about him, like, man, he takes his faith extremely. Like he really cares about it. And on top of that, like he said it before as far as how well he cleans up house. But now the guy is really like a neat person. Like his office is never messed up. If you go to his home, it almost looks like an antique shop.
What do you mean?
Like, man, it's just so clean. Like if you drop a pencil, you can hear it because it's so clean. And then obviously like the prestige, almost like if you walk into the house, when the door opens up, you almost see like what they have on the movie, like dun dun dun. You need that. You need that.
Like the
Yeah. And he'd just be sitting on the couch like this. How's it going, Tyrion Arnold? Like that.
Welcome.
Sounds pretty intimidating.
Nah, not at all.
Oh, that's good. All right, did he ever do a D's Nuts joke with you?
A couple times, yeah.
He did?
A couple times.
Were you surprised the first time he did it?
Nah, because they told us, like, one thing about him, when you're around him for a long time, it's kind of like when you're around older folks, like even my great-grandmother, I have to laugh at the same story, even though I've heard the same story, like, five times. Yeah. So, like, that's how you would know, like, when the guys who... I would almost say, like, you're trying to get on coach's good side. They'll still be laughing at the same joke versus, coach, you already told us that.
Huh, yeah. Okay. What's the angriest you've ever made him? By the way, I ask this of all Alabama players that come through the draft.
I think y'all saw it on national television, man, when he was chewing me out versus Mississippi State when I didn't time up the blitz on the motion. Like, he was hot.
And that was that the one where you were already up by a gajillion points?
Oh, yeah, we were.
Like that?
Yep.
So that's right, you were the recipient of that.
I was.
So what happened?
I didn't time up the blitz on the motion, and this was the previous third down, and then they scored. So when they scored, man, he just came, and, like, one thing about him, like, he doesn't forget. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, like I say again, with older folks, when he's mad, he can make himself more mad because he's already old. So it's like, it'll be like, I'm already mad at you because of what you did, but then on top of that, I might be hot or I already might be agitated, so I'm going to just throw that in too. So it was like that. Even like that's how he'll be at practice. Like he'll be like, you guys can't get nothing right. And then it's hot. And I'm old. Like that.
You would say that?
Yeah. Especially like, man, we had no energy. Oh, man, like he would light us up when it came to that. Like, we went out there. You got to think, I played corner, so I was with him, like, right here. Like, we start our practice. If we get him in a bad mood, like, starting our practice, practice is going to be a long day.
But you can't do anything about the temperature or how old he is.
No, you can't. And that's why he would get mad about that if we didn't have any energy. Like, it would be like, man, it could be like probably day 17 going into fall camp. We done already been in full pads. We done had two scrimmages. And it's just one of those days where your body just hurting. And he'll be like, I mean – are you okay, three? And I would say, I mean, yeah, coach, I'm okay. And he would say, no, three, tell me the truth. So, oh, okay. Nah, I'm not really okay. Well, I don't really care, three. And that's how you know, like one thing about him, like, you know that you've earned, like, your stripes with him when he gets to start calling you by your name. So, you know, I went from 12, then I went to three, then I went to Tyrion, and then I went to Tyrion Arnold when he's mad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Full name.
Full name.
Well, that's
name.
What a parent does, right?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Because, like, my mom, when she's mad, she'll call by my middle name.
Oh, no. And which is what?
I can't tell you that.
Let's look it up.
Okay. So, you're the school of swagger.com. Mm-hmm. What is that?
School of swagger.com. It's a site that they can visit and just help Old Spice as far as the relationship and the mentorship program if they want to find out more information about what they're doing with Big Brothers.
Okay.
And I would say go and visit that site because what Old Spice has partnered with Big Brothers and done, like I already talked about, giving them confidence, but even just the younger generation as far as giving back, man. If you're the type of person that likes to help people or even if you just feel it on your heart to give, you should go and look into that.
Okay. Let's get Leo out here now. Leo of the representing Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Southeast Michigan. Come on out here, Leo.
Leo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Leo is here.
Yes.
You have questions, right?
Yes.
No. Hold on a second. Do you want this seat if you're going to ask him?
Yeah, do it.
Come on, Leo.
Yeah, Leo.
Have to get it right, buddy.
All right, Leo's going to sit down here. There you go.
All right.
In the seat. Right? And I'll sit in the guest chair? Should I sit in there? Okay, very good.
Take a seat.
All
there
right.
you go, man.
What
here
up, Leo? Go.
What's up? Hi, everybody.
Leo. Chilling, man. You good?
Good,
great, great
man.
Fit, man.
I mean, you look sharp.
Hold on a second. Let's get this microphone in front of you. I just showed my best side, unfortunately, to the camera. All right, go for it, Leo.
So, I have three questions for Tyrion.
Okay.
My first one is, did you have a mentor when you were growing up?
Yes. My mentor growing up would be my grandfather. And I would say my grandfather, just me being able to be around him, it instilled, as they would say, just the ability to be a well-rounded man.
Would you say, like, he was the best person for you?
Yes. I would say, I mean, he was hard on me, but hard. Anytime he would build me down, he would pick me back up, and he never allowed me to fall on my face. But at the same time, he never let me get too high or get too low. And even with the draft tomorrow, like he says, you know, it's a blessing, it's an opportunity, but at the same time, you got to get to work after that.
I like that. I like that. Number two, what advice do you have for kids my age that want to be a professional athlete?
I would say believe in yourself. A lot of people, they kind of believe in themselves, but are you going to be able to believe in yourself when it feels like the whole world is against you, when in a big game you didn't make that play and everybody's saying, okay, he's not this, he's not that, or he can't be this? How are you going to channel that? Like, channel it and turn it into confidence. And ultimately, like I said, believe in yourself, but really, really believe in yourself. Because at the end of the day, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. It's going to be highs, it's going to be lows, and it's a journey.
You like that answer, Leo?
Yes, I love that answer.
Look at,
look
at the dimples, by the way. By the way, a full head of hair and dimples. Like, I'm out. I just lost my job.
It's over. You might as well just go home.
You might as well change the logo real quick.
It's a respectful, it's a confident, it's a great answer for kids my age to want to be a professional athlete, or if not a professional athlete, to want to be a athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the coolest thing your mentor taught you?
Hard working mentality. And just never thinking you're bigger than people or life itself. I mean, being in this type of atmosphere or environment, I mean, you could kind of stroke your ego a little bit, like, okay, I am going into a part of the 1%. But at the end of the day, with my faith and even what I believe in, like, God gives certain people different tasks. And one thing about it, as quickly as he gives it to you, he can take it away from you. So never think that you're too high or above others, and treat everybody how you want to be treated.
I like that.
I do too. We have about 1 minute left before our radio audiences have to leave.
Okay, I got one more.
There you go.
If you had to give help or advice to one person in your family, who would it be?
My little brother.
That's reminding me of my little brother. He's over there.
Hey, who's that? What's his name?
Lavelle.
Leo and Lavelle.
Leo and Lavelle.
It's Tyrion and Leon, my little brother.
Okay. Fantastic. I love it. Great job, by the way, Leo.
Yeah, you did good, man.
Outstanding.
Told you not to
great
be nervous,
job.
Man. You got it.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You got easy this work, whole thing Leo. Down pat. So I guess last one for you that I have in the 30 seconds we have. Well, actually, you know what? We'll wait for this for the Roku channel audience. I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir.
Courtesy of Old Spice. And obviously Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America. J.J. McCarthy's coming up in the next hour. Have a great draft. And I hope you wind up exactly where you want to go.
Thank you, man.
And great job, Leo.
Thank you so much.
I am going to have to ask for that chair back, though.
Good job, man.
Even though you look great in it.
Thank you.
You look great in it.
This is a very special opportunity for me to meet future NFL players.
I appreciate you saying that as well. We've got about 90 seconds left here on the Roku channel. So let me ask you one more question, if you don't mind, Terry.
Yeah.
What will an NFL team get if they draft you on Thursday night?
I would say that they're getting a quarterback and a cornerback. Like, obviously, a quarterback carries himself with his prestigious personality, and just as far as never getting too high, never getting too low. I'm the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. I'm a natural born leader, and I'm there to withstand everything, all the adversity, and like a talented player, man. Not only am I that off the field, but on the field, man, I'm a competitor, and I feel like I'm going to get the best out of my teammates, and I think they'll get the best out of me. So as far as reciprocating that energy, every day it's going to be amazing. And then, on top of that, a fan favorite. Like, I really love the fans, man. Off the field activities, getting them into the game, man. home field advantage when you have your fans playing in front of them. That's a big thing.
It's so important.
It is no doubt so important. And I cannot, you know, wait to see you get your draft moment. You're going to be in the green room?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your mom's going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Who else is going to be there?
My granddad.
Your granddad. So he's off the roof for draft night.
Yeah, he out the roof.
Okay, that's good. That's fantastic. And yes, sir. It's okay to cry if you cry on Thursday night now.
If I do cry, then I cry. But I'm not planning on crying.
Well, we won't think any less of you.
Yeah, exactly.
You crying on having a big opportunity to do something. It's called a moment of joy.
Ooh. Yeah. Leo, everybody. Yeah. Way to wrap up hour one on the Rich Eisen Show. J.J. McCarthy's coming up next.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.